broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
You have a domestic disturbance? Okay. Tell me exactly what happened.
The reason that this debate is so important is that it reminds me in some ways.
Well, Grassley actually wrote a letter after that hearing, and he was joined by all of the other Republican members.
I want to point out, for those of you looking at ESPN, I'd like to point out Hannah Storm in a horrifying outfit today.
Bleeping retarded.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that goes through the looking glass right into the Alice in Wonderland heart of the matter here. And your living room, too. And that's what we do on this show. We, you know, we turn the whole thing on its head, man, the talk radio experience. And it all comes out, well, it all comes out looking the way we want it to look. 877-876-PHIL, and that's the truthful way. Pole dancing, will it be a part of the Olympics? Oh, please, God, let it be. Look, I know all about pole dancing. Who doesn't? I mean, what man listening to me hasn't experienced, at least on one occasion, the joy, the grandeur, the fantastic rapture of pole dancing? And it doesn't necessarily have to be something you saw in a club. Some of your wives, some of your girlfriends are now taking up pole dancing as a way of staying in shape and, oh yeah, keeping your marriage or your relationship all just glowing. Well, now women have gotten so serious about pole dancing, if you'll pardon the expression, that they want this to be an Olympic sport. I don't know what the Olympics has turned into. Is it a testing ground for new toys and new sporting equipment, the deals that they've got with different manufacturers? Is this what it's about? And we had softball and baseball. They got rid of baseball and softball, by the way. I don't know about you. It seems to me that when it comes to the Summer Olympics, baseball makes sense. Softball I can live without. Softball is softball. Softball is some guy that owns a transmission shop going out and getting, I don't know, however many, nine people to, you know, and he buys them shirts and they go out on a public diamond someplace. Somebody brings the beer and they play softball. I that's where it belongs, not in the Olympics. If you're going to have softball as an Olympic sport, then you might as well have the teams come out there and play the game. It ought to be Parker Boyler, you know, against Frank Perdue's or something. It should be the Tom Chevrolet, I don't know, you know, versus Minnie's Boot Barn or something. That's what it ought to be. But in any event, we'll be looking at that a little bit later on in the hour. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. I just talked to one of our guys on the web side of things, and our design, he said, it's kicking effing ass. And I said, how dare you use that language with me, your boss? And he said, I don't care. Anyway, 877-876. No, he wasn't saying that.
Well, who'd you talk to?
None of your business who I talked to. Let me talk here, though, to Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier joining us. And, Doug, a couple of things we wanted to talk about. The most important thing I think we wanted to get to here was Charlie Sheen.
Absolutely, Phil.
And now he wants to check himself into rehab, and I wanted to get your feeling on this because I think it's a terribly tragic story, in my opinion. I don't know why, but it just feels very, very tragic. Listening to that 911 call.
Well, Phil, I agree with you, and I wouldn't want this to. I wouldn't want what has happened to Charlie Sheen and his wife be misunderstood. I think it's tragic, but I think there's a little bit that's going on here, and this is why I am a reporter, and I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I'm not just a journalist. I've seen discrimination. I've seen bigotry. I've seen people not accept me for who I am, which forced me into an underground capacity, which means that I have to look at people a lot more discriminatorily. I have to look at people with a lot more of a discriminatorily, you know, eye.
Is that a word?
What is that?
Discriminatorily?
I didn't say that. I said in a more discriminating eye.
Oh, I thought I heard you say discriminatorily.
No, I didn't say that. I said more of a discriminating eye. And the point that I'm making is this. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. You know, Phil, that I don't talk a lot about gay politics on your program when I come on. I talk about life. I think this is a part of life. Charlie Sheen and his wife, and you know Charlie Sheen's going to check himself into rehab. He's got a wife that's going into rehab. He almost cut her with a knife one night, and we've heard the 911 call. I think these two people are going to further the cause of gay marriage maybe more than any other straight couple this year or the last 10 years, because they've been a train wreck, and I think they show very clearly, I think, how straight people have dropped the ball on straight marriage. I think they've shown how straight people have not been great caretakers of heterosexual marriage, and I think that I really think that the cover is off, the lid's off. Marriage is for everybody, Phil.
Well, you're not going to get anybody to believe that, man, just because of Charlie Sheen.
Oh, I think so. Look at Charlie Sheen almost stabbed his wife. Now he's a drug addict. His wife's a drug addict. Almost cut her good. You heard the 911. If you got that 911 call, I'd like to hear it one more time, Phil.
All right, well, let me play it for you. This is the 911 call that we heard. We originally aired this on our program when it first took place, I guess maybe the day or two after it took place. Here is Charlie Sheen's wife calling, I believe, from their home in Aspen.
You have a domestic disturbance? Okay. Tell me exactly what happened.
No, my husband had me with a knife. And
these are straight people, Phil.
I got you, yeah.
Okay, are you guys separated right now?
Yeah, right now. We have people that are separating us, but I have to file the report.
Are there other people there? Does he still have the knife?
Yeah, he still does, but there's other people here.
Who are the other people that are there?
What does that mean?
My kids.
Hold on, will you?
But right now, if I don't file this, I need to file it.
Okay, where is he with the knife?
He's in the other room.
Okay, is someone in the room with him?
Else. Yes.
Who is he with?
He's with somebody packing to leave. But okay.
You know, I've already heard this.
I'd like to hear it again. I want people to hear this. This is a heterosexual couple. This is heterosexual marriage.
Which room is he in? When the officers enter the house, which room will he be in?
In the bathroom.
In which room are you in?
In the kitchen. I thought I was going to die for 1 hour.
Okay. Great. What's your name?
Brooke.
And what's your husband's name?
It's Charlie Sheen.
Right there. You could hear the embarrassment in her voice, Phil, as she said, my husband is Charlie Sheen. That means I'm a woman, he's a man, welcome to the wonderful world of heterosexual marriage. And again, I don't really comment on these things unless I see something coming down the road like it's a freight train out of control. And this is a runaway train. Gay marriage, I've never really been invested in gay marriage one way or the other. I am a gay man, I am a gay journalist, but it's not, if you will, it's not a part of the news world that I cover. I'm an entertainment writer, but I think here, and I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, which means that I have the discriminating eye to see when something is news and truth. And right here, you've got a straight couple, a heterosexual couple, making crap out of heterosexual marriage.
Well, we've heard we've heard of these stories before. We've heard of couples.
No, well, you've heard of them before, and you've heard of them before, and you've heard of them before. But you've never heard them in the context of a big push to legalize gay marriage, to make sure that it is respected as a constitutional right until now. And it just so happens, Phil. And again, I'm a gay man, and I say that I don't really have any bias in favor of gay marriage. I think it's constitutional. I think it should be allowed. But I've never seen straight people try to just throw the game the way they have now when they trot this guy out. Charlie Sheen and his wife, and I forget her name.
Well, her name is Brooke.
Is it Brooke Sheen? Or
I guess it's Brooke Sheen. Well, she's married to the man.
Well, she could be an actress. She might have one of these other names that they have. But the point that I'm making here is when you listen to that drug addict and you listen to the wife beater, when you listen to the lady checking herself into rehab, and you look at this guy with the Heineken beer, and I'm going into rehab too, not moments after he had a knife, basically a knife in the small of her back, threatening to sever her spinal cord if she called a cop, you're looking at straight marriage. You're looking at...
Come on. Now, hold on for just a second here, Doug. You know that straight marriage... There's all kinds of marriages.
Well, wait a minute. Really, are there all kinds of marriages? Because I don't hear about them. This is what I hear about.
When are you going to hear about them? How are you going to put them on the news?
That's right. How are you going to put them on the news? I don't know. That's not my problem. That's not the fight that I'm fighting. That's not my battle. You're telling me there's great straight marriages? Where are they? Point them out to me. But no, they can't do that. As a matter of fact, they won't point out straight marriages because there ain't no good straight marriages to point out.
And well, you know that that isn't the case at all. You know that there are people that are happily married.
I don't know that they're happily married. All I know is the face of straight marriage is Charlie Sheen and the drug addict that he is and the drug addict wife. And I don't even know how many kids they got, but it's a sad, sad thing. I've never seen straight people trying to just hand over the mantle of marriage to gay people as readily, as quickly, and as effectively as they're doing right now. Now, I want to say one more thing, Phil, before you go to the break.
Go ahead.
I have reason to believe that Charlie Sheen and his wife, who are sympathetic, by the way, to the gay marriage cause, and I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, so I've looked into the motivation of a lot of Hollywood's liberal elite. I have reason to believe that if it meant there would be gay marriage legalized in the United States, and that is recognized for its constitutionality, they would probably be happy getting either a divorce or doing some kind of violence to each other.
Now, what are you talking about?
What I'm saying is this. There are certain straight couples that are sympathetic to gay marriage, and to make it look even more like straight people can't handle marriage, I know certain people who would be open to the idea of doing some kind of physical violence to each other so that straights even look more violent and more pathetic in their effort to sell their so-called brand of marriage.
You mean to tell me, are you telling me that Charlie...
No, I don't know if it's Charlie Sheen or not.
All right, well, you're telling me there's some people in Hollywood that would have a violent breakup as a couple to show straight married people as violent and incapable of being married.
That's my understanding. Now, I don't find any fault with that because you know as well as I do there are violent and there are untrustworthy and there are unfaithful straight couples out there right now. Charlie Sheen's one of them. I don't think Charlie Sheen's putting it on. So it wouldn't be a lie. What it would be, I think, is a bit of theater to further the cause of gay marriage. Right now, you listen to that Sheen and you listen to that woman he's with, and I love you. You talk about white trash. You know that is that's the epitome of white trash. I don't care how much money they got. He sounds like a real yokel. She sounds like she's half in a bag, calling 911, 911, and the two of them are just a train wreck.
Well, you know what, man? This point that you're making here, Doug, about how straight people are so violent and so drunk and so rotten with their marriages that it's going to push gay marriage, it ain't happened yet.
We haven't had gay marriage talked about so seriously up until now. And now these drunk straight couples, these drunk violent straight couples, make straight marriage look worse and worse and worse in the face of mounting pressure for gay marriage. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I don't have, as they say, a dog in this fight. You know,
well, I mean, you say you're a gay man and a gay journalist, you don't have a dog in this fight.
I don't care one way or the other, okay? It's not the part of the news that I cover.
All right, our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Doug Danger has joined us talking about Charlie Sheen and his wife, Brooke, and they're a great example of straight people being married, and if they are an example of straight people being married, gay marriage can't be that far off. Also coming up, we got Tony Kornheiser over Hannah Storm. Now, you heard this guy, and, well, we'll talk about it. 877-876-PHIL, this guy Kornheiser, even if the guy, if he wasn't on TV, if he was just sitting in a living room talking to somebody, if it was just him and her one-on-one, I can't believe the guy said what he said. Anyway, I don't think he's been around women that much. Honest to God. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. And speaking of broadcasting, and Doug Danger, we'll get back to him in a second here, but speaking of broadcasting, is that what we were speaking of?
Well, writing.
Well, speaking of media, ESPN has suspended a guy named Tony Kornheiser over comments he made concerning Hannah Storm. She's a reporter. She has worked for not only ESPN, but NBC. And she's a professional. Now, Tony Kornheiser, if you don't know this, was a writer for the Washington Post. I don't know if he still is. He's an example of what I really can't stand in our business. I cannot stand these people. They are outsiders, newspaper people, plumbers, lawyers, whatever it was that they were or are. And now they take over our business and they got just enough guys licking their rear ends, telling them that they're great, that they begin to think that they really are. Now, Kornheiser made a series of comments that, if they were funny, it would have been one thing, but they're the most insulting series of comments. He later went on to say that he was just copying Don Imus. Well, no, you weren't, Kornheiser. Imus is a pro. Some people may think he's funny. Some people may not. But the fact is, Imus has been around a long time, and he knows how to deliver, right? He's a broadcaster, so he knows how to deliver a line. Well, at least I thought until that nappy-headed thing. But then again, as a matter of fact, Kornheiser, what are you doing patterning your career after a guy who said nappy-headed ho and didn't even know why he said it? I'll bet you don't even know why you said what you said about Hannah Storm. Now, we're going to hear what he said. And it isn't funny. And I don't think it's particularly... I cringed for the guy. I don't know where he was going with this. I don't know that if he's ever been around. When you hear these comments, the first thing that I thought, I don't think this guy's ever been around a woman. I don't think he's ever been around a woman in his life. I'm not saying has ever made love to one. I'm not talking about in a... I mean, just been around one. Like his mother. Now he's on the air, and he thinks he's being funny, and he's not, because he's a newspaper guy. He's not a broadcaster. He's got enough guys at ESPN who saw Dan Patrick bomb out and a few other guys that they thought were really, really funny, and they weren't. And now they got Kornheiser, and he's pretty good as a sports writer. He's not half bad, I guess, as an analyst, but as a comic, he sucks. And here he is talking to Hannah Storm. He insults the SportsCenter anchor on his radio show.
I want to point out, for those of you looking at ESPN, I'd like to point out Hannah Storm in a horrifying outfit today. She's got on red go-go boots and a Catholic school plaid skirt, way too short for somebody in her 40s or maybe early 50s by now. And she's got on her typically very, very tight shirt. So she looks like she's got sausage casing wrapped around her upper body. I mean, you know, honestly, I know she's very good, and I know I'm not supposed to be critical of ESPN people. Like, point out that, you know, people who say that they lost 50 or 60 pounds have actually gained all the weight back.
And some.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not supposed to do anything like that, so I won't.
And the people that are co-anchoring with them, they aren't sure which side of the bread the butter's on. So I thought I heard a woman laughing. That wasn't Hannah Storm laughing. And then he's got some sidekick who's supposed to suck his rear end, too, and he's laughing. But then after this guy got suspended, Kornheiser, which he did, I don't know, you know, maybe he ran into the bosses at ESPN and said, I really didn't think it was funny. I was just laughing because I thought it was supposed to, you know. Nonetheless, the next day, Kornheiser opened his radio show by saying, I apologize, I'm a sarcastic, subversive guy. He's giving himself a little too much credit there. You're not subversive, Kornheiser. You're just, you know, you're just not very good. I'm a troll. Look at me. I have no right to insult what anybody looks like. It's not that, Tony. This is a woman you're talking to. Women have a vanity, especially when it comes to their vanity on television, that you don't go near, man. You don't go near it. I think should go without saying that I'm the least guy. No, man. What you said was taken very seriously by this woman who is being humiliated on TV by you, you schmuck. Anyway, the apology didn't work. The bosses at ESPN told him to take a vacation or a suspension or whatever you want to call it. And they put in another guy filling in for him on Monday's show. There was no explanation offered for Kornheiser's absence, but now you know. He's been, quote, suspended for a few days as the result of the comment. I just think that it's this should happen a lot more often, not because necessarily he said something that was going to run them afoul of the FCC, but here's a guy that thinks he's being funny. Now he takes this woman who is an employee of ESPN, who's not asking for anything other than to just come on the show and comment on something. This guy's knocking her looks. He's knocking her age. He's mocking her clothing as it relates to her age. He's saying it's sausage casing. I swear to God, the hostility that he had for this woman, I would think that there is something almost homoerotic about them. I don't know, is there a female hatred bordering on the kind that John Gielgud had, you know? Does he despise women like Edward Albee? Is Tony Kornheiser the ultimate closeted sports guy? Any schmuck any schmuck knows you don't start making fun of a woman's looks, especially when you're on television.
Well.
All right, well, maybe sometimes, but 877.
Your mom.
Yeah, your mom. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
To bring on Hero G, he is Mr. G is a he's an analyst for the Japanese auto industry, and works for a couple of major publications over there. Mr. G, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. And it's a difficult time to hear you.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you good.
All right, sir. Now, Toyota's not doing very well. We just saw Senate hearings, and we've certainly seen the news where the recalls going into the millions of cars. You know, it's a couple of things. It's an engineering challenge, obviously. It is a public relations challenge too. That is one that the Toyota may lose. Don't you think?
No, I don't. I don't think. I don't think Toyota. Is going to lose any public relations because American automakers not doing good, you know.
Yeah, but American automakers can come back.
American automakers, they're not going to come back. American automakers, if this were like, I don't know, you know, 30 years ago or something, maybe. But right now, America is not doing good to make cars. Not good at all. And Toyota right now have a difficult time, you know, with public relations, but they're not going to have a problem, you know, with their cars, because American can't make good cars. You see?
Well, you're saying America can't make good cars, but the fact of the matter is Toyota ain't making good cars right now, and Toyota, as you said, has a public relations problem on its hands. And if the American automakers get their act together...
Well, everything, if, you know, if heard you said on your program earlier, you know, if my uncle had wheel and pedal, you know, it'd be a bicycle. But it's not the case, you know.
Well, sir, I said if my uncle had wheels and pedals, he'd be... I didn't say that. Somebody else said that to a caller of mine. I'm not looking at... I'm not trying to be a smartass.
No, I know you're not being a smartass, but you are looking for an American automaker. You're going to have... some kind of big time, you know. American automaker is going to have a big time because Toyota, you know, you think it's on its ass. Toyota's not on its ass.
I didn't say Toyota's on its ass. I said Toyota's having a hard time public relations-wise controlling this situation. The hell is going on? You know, I'm really fascinated with the controlling the situation vis-a-vis their automobiles. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I just would say, but I'm just telling you, Toyota are not going to have the same kind of problem, for instance, that you have, you know. Toyota are going to have the same kind of problem you have, where you can't find anybody to build a car that people want to buy, you know. People want to buy Toyota. No one want to buy America.
Well, wait a minute. Nobody wants to buy American where? In America or in Europe? Nobody wants to buy American where? In Japan?
Well, nobody going to buy in Japan, but no one going to buy in America. No one buy a car in America, American car. And no one going to buy that. Boy, you make me laugh, you know.
Well, I'm not trying to make you laugh, sir. Mr. G, what I'm saying is...
No, you make me laugh because you think that America to run Toyota out of business. America to run Toyota is the big boy in the block, you know.
Toyota's the big boy in the block.
Yeah, that's why I said I don't stutter.
Look, I know you don't stutter. Why do you want to make this contentious?
You're the one you come on, you say...
you know, you're very... I can see you're very sensitive because I'm talking about Toyota.
You know, you come on, you say to me, Toyota got a big problem, and in America, going to step in. I see America, go ahead, bring it. You know, bring it.
Well, I don't know if America's going to bring it. But my question originally for you, if you remember, was... is Toyota worried about the possibility that they'll lose market share to American automakers now that they're having these problems?
And my answer to you is no. The American automaker is in such deep trouble from an engineering standpoint, from a sales standpoint, marketing standpoint. They it's almost that the entire industry it has to start all over again, you see. And so that's what my point. That American automaker in no position. Japan is the only divine race on earth. We will be the master of China, the master of India. Asia will be ours. Now, what movie is that from?
What?
What movie is that from?
The Last Emperor.
Yeah. Do you like that?
So, all right, thanks a lot, Mr. Hiro G, right? Is that your name?
Yeah. Don't wear it out.
Get it.
What is that guy?
I don't know, man. I don't like him. Yeah, that's my name. Don't wear it out. Get me somebody from the auto industry in Japan that isn't quoting the Last Emperor, if you don't mind. 877-876, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Bill Hendry Show.
Hey, you know when this guy Scott Brown got elected in Massachusetts? Welcome back to our show, Phil Hendry Show here, 877-876-PHIL. You remember when this guy got elected? I mean, the excitement on the part of conservatives, Republicans, or whatever you want to call yourself. I mean, it's just as foggy as what a progressive or a Democrat is. So I'm not singling you guys out. These names, these labels, these addictions to the political religions that people have makes me want to pitch my guts up. However,
tell us how you feel.
However, a month after being crowned the darling of national conservatives, Republican Senator Scott Brown of Massachusetts is being branded Benedict Brown. I don't know who's actually called him that. That sounds like some cornball line that Glenn Johnson of the Associated Press came up with. Nice going, Glenn. Not. Is being branded Benedict Brown for... Is he really being branded Benedict Brown? Because if that's a direct quote, man, I want to know who said that. For siding with Democrats in favor of a jobs bill endorsed by the Obama administration. Like the four other GOP senators who joined him, the man who won the late Democrat Edward Senator's seat says it's about jobs, not party politics, and that may be good politics, too. The four other GOP senators who broke ranks, Olympia Snow, Susan Collins, and George Voinovich of Ohio... The four others are Olympia Snow, Susan Collins, George Voinovich, and Christopher Kit Bond of Missouri, also were criticized on Tuesday. But Brown was the big target on conservative websites. Don't you understand that, Mr. and I'm sure you do, Mr. Johnson, everybody else, conservatives don't, they may call themselves conservatives, that doesn't mean that they know what they're talking about any more than progressives know what they're talking about when they call themselves progressives. You guys are making this far more complicated than it is. Let me give you a word of advice, all of you guys listening. These people have a vested interest in making it complex and complicated because then you'll go to them to have it explained. There's nothing complicated. It's what I've been telling you. These jackasses that call themselves conservatives don't know what it is. Any more than a progressive knows what it is. How do I know? Because they voted for this guy Brown, and guess what? He's in favor of a jobs bill that's been sponsored by Democrats and endorsed by the president. Is this what he said he would do? Yes. Was he a non-traditional Republican conservative slash whatever? Yes. Did he say it? Yes, he did. Did he say he wanted to get rid of politics as usual in Washington? Yes, he did. What did people think he was talking about when he said that? That he was going to wear a different color coat every time he voted conservative? That he was going to have, he's going to wear longer hair than the other Republicans? What the hell do they think he's talking about? We campaigned for you, we donated to your campaign, and you turned on us like every other rhino, said one writer, using the initials for Republican in name only. Well, maybe you're just too stupid to understand what the man is saying, Mr. Blogger. Do you think that that is possible? The answer is no, it's not possible that you would understand that, but it is possible that you're too stupid to understand what he's saying. There's progressives like that. They voted for Obama only to find out that their hearts got broken when he said, hey, you know what? The tribunals may be a pretty good idea, and I may not want to close Gitmo right away. And guess what? I think I'd like to go and kill a whole bunch of Taliban. Oh, my God, they just felt so betrayed, didn't they? And, of course, it wasn't them. It was Obama, wasn't it? Now, how is it that Phil Hendry is smarter than everybody else? How is it I'm smarter than everybody else? Because I have to be. There's not a thing Obama's doing that surprises me. Not one thing that he's doing that surprises me. I'm not disappointed. I'm not surprised. I understand why he's doing what he's doing. I knew he wasn't an ideologue, and I knew he wasn't a party man either. I know he feels like he owes a lot to the left in his party, and it sure does screw him up half the time, but he's going to continue to piss them off. And what is my proof? Because I said it. He's going to piss off Democrats. I said it before he even got elected. Does that make me smarter than everybody else? I think it does. I think it does. It damn sure makes me smarter than anybody that you watch on TV or any other show you listen to, because I haven't heard one of these schmucks say the same thing. Not one of them. After the fact, oh yeah. I mean, after the fact, I hear all kinds of people quoting me. Now we have here this guy, Scott Brown. And guess what? Now, on the right, they're doing the same thing. The guy is stabbing him in the back. I mean, it isn't, the body ain't even cold in Massachusetts. And I say that with all due respect to Senator Kennedy. But the guy just got elected and already these guys are feeling betrayed. I got news for you, Mr. Blogger. You're just not bright enough. You're just not bright. You make this more complicated than it needs to be. All you got to do is listen to what these people are saying. Size them up. Don't be a chump. Don't be a little kid. Don't be a little girl believing everything that you hear and then feeling all betrayed. Just be a grown-up for once. Listen to what they're saying. This guy Brown, good for him. I'm glad he voted with the president. I'm glad he's shaking up those jackasses over in the Republican Party and all their T-bitches. Just the same as I'm glad that Obama was shaking up all those progs and those ugly-ass code pink bitches back there in San Francisco with their We Don't Want the Marine Corps in Berkeley and all that other jazz that wasn't going to get Obama elected anymore than him having leprosy was going to get him elected. They were a liability. Just like Pelosi's a liability. Just like Reid's a liability. Just like we told you those people were liabilities. And now guess what? Oh, my goodness, I just heard on the news the other day. It seems to me he better cut himself loose of that Reid and Pelosi. Well, goodness gracious. The conservative Tilting Drudge Report colored a photo of Brown on its homepage in scarlet. The new senator responded by calling into a Boston radio station, "I've taken three votes. And to say I've sold out any particular party or interest group, I think is certainly unfair." You don't understand, Scott. These people are not interested in helping the country. They're not interested in what is truth. They're not interested in what is going to move the country forward. They just want to win. They just want to score points. The Tea Party bitches, the progressives, all of them, they can all get into the same bus and burn, as far as I'm concerned. They don't care anymore for this country and the success of this country and its prospects than Fidel stinking Castro did, or Osama, or any of them. All they care about is making sure that they, their little blogs and their websites and their silly little attitudes about, being a whatever the hell it is they are, a Tea Party or a this or a that. And that Joe Stack, I mean, today, folks, I walked out of the office of one of the eminent forensic psychiatrists in America who had just gotten done telling me that Joe Stack represented a very interesting study in a biochemical disaster, distortion, right? And how he could have helped him had he had Joe as a patient. He could have helped him. I could have helped Joe. Now, here's a guy who's sick in the head. Probably every psychiatrist in America recognized that man is sick in the head. And you know what? There are people who have tribute pages for a guy that's sick in the head, that needed psychiatric attention. There are people with tribute pages for a guy like that. You want to know why that is? Because those people probably need a little biochemical, rigmarole. What do you think? All right, let's take a look at some of the stories we can get here tonight on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Some of this stuff is, did we already do? Yes, we did. I was going to say, did we already do our Dr. Green Thumb?
Yeah, I did the other day. I don't know if you finished all them stories up.
Well, it doesn't make any difference, man. Okay, if we got all of the dope news out of the way for the week, then we got all the dope news out of the way for the week. All right, it's time now for the stories we couldn't get to. A man arrested for DUI asks officer what his favorite drink is. A 30-year-old man was arrested for DUI after an officer saw him swerving, according to a Crestview Police Department incident report in Crestview, Florida. On January 31st, around 12:20 a.m., a motorist reported a Chevrolet S10 swerving near Helen Back, the report said. I guess that's... It's got to be a street. It can't be Helen, is it?
Well, maybe it was near Helen Beck. She was standing on a corner.
Okay, a woman named Helen Beck was standing on a corner and the car was swerving near her. The officer located the truck near Walmart. That's where Helen Beck was going.
Yeah.
Anyway, the officer asked the driver why he was weaving or swerving or whatever, and the guy responded by asking, would he like a drink? A drink out of a six-pack. Anyway, the man refused to take a breathalyzer test while he was being driven to the Okaloosa County Jail. He asked the officer several times what his favorite alcoholic beverage was and asked him to turn on his blue lights because he thought it looked cool. In Minneapolis, a Minneapolis woman has received a $1,000 water bill, a bill the city believes is accurate even though it's 20 times the woman's usual bill. Erica Kokur said her bill is generally $70 to $80 a month. She said her heart just dropped when she got her latest bill. The city said she must have a running toilet or a dripping faucet. But KSTP Television said the bill is charging for almost 200,000 gallons of water. That's three times the volume of her entire home. A shower would have to run nonstop for almost 2 months to use that much water. The city's director of treasury is Leanne Stagg. She said the city believes the bill is accurate, but the city will check Coker's meter one more time. An Ohio man says he bulldozed his $350,000 home to keep a bank from foreclosing on it. Terry Hoskins, see, you understand, Terry, that the bank owns that house, right? And what you did is you bulldozed their... Oh, I get it. Okay. Anyway, Terry Hoskins says he struggled with the River Hills Bank over his home in Moscow, that's Moscow, Ohio, for years and had problems with the internal... Oh, the Internal Revenue Service, of course. He says the IRS placed liens on his carpet store and commercial property, and the bank claimed his house as collateral. Hoskins says he owes $160,000 on the house. He says he spent a lot of money on attorneys and finally had enough. About 2 weeks ago, he bulldozed the home 25 miles southeast of Cincinnati. Messages were left for the bank and its attorney. IRS spokeswoman Jody Reynolds said individual taxpayers' information is private and federal law prevents her from commenting. The Kansas City Royals baseball team is being sued after the team's mascot, Slugger the Lion, allegedly injured a fan's eye with a steaming hot wiener. That was during a Major League Baseball game last year, according to entertainment website TMZ. And they're just getting around to suing now, huh? Why don't we go ahead and lay that wiener on him, okay? Because, yeah, I guess that's your only move now. In a lawsuit filed in Jackson County, Missouri, John Coomer, claims that Slugger climbed atop the third base dugout and started shooting hot dogs into the stands from an air gun at the September 8, 2009 game. Coomer claims that when Slugger later began throwing the hot dogs into the stands, one hit him in his left eye, leaving him with a detached retina and causing him to develop cataracts. Coomer's seeking more than $25,000 for negligence and battery, claiming the Royals failed to adequately train their agents in the proper method in which to throw hot dogs into the stands at Kauffman Stadium. Good point, man. A suburban St. Louis woman has been arrested after police said she shot at her husband when he refused to give her some of their tax return money. Pine Lawn police said the unidentified woman was being held on a $75,000 cash-only bond on suspicion of first-degree assault and armed criminal action. It was not immediately known whether this woman had an attorney. Police said she followed her husband to work on Saturday morning at a barbershop and fired when he refused to turn over any money. The bullets missed the husband. Investigators said the woman then went to St. Louis and threw the gun in a sewer. She turned herself in after police contacted her. That's what they call arresting. Well, they didn't arrest her. They just called her and said, "We're coming to arrest you." Funeral home workers in the Colombian city of Cali got the shock of a lifetime when an apparently dead 45-year-old woman suddenly started breathing and moving as they prepared her for burial. Local media said the woman had been declared clinically dead at a medical facility Tuesday after having been hospitalized in serious condition with a neurological condition a day earlier. The instruments the patient was connected to gave no blood pressure or heart rate, said Miguel Angel Saavedra, a doctor. But not an English teacher. And then, well, they speak Spanish.
You know, you think they're going to speak English?
No, but, you know, Twitter's founder says the Dalai Lama laughed at the thought of using the social networking service, but the Tibetan spiritual leader now has an official Twitter site and more than 68,000 followers, which is nowhere near as many as Ashton Kutcher. Twitter founder Evan Williams posted a message Sunday that he just met the Dalai Lama in Los Angeles and pitched using Twitter. On Monday, a Twitter page set up by the Dalai Lama's office in India carried its first message. And let's see, what else? Oh, a Falmouth, Massachusetts man is hired and then fired and then arrested by police. John Yerrington was hired, fired, and arrested by police all in the same afternoon. The 33-year-old Falmouth resident accomplished the dubious feat Tuesday when the police agreed to make him a confidential drug informant. But less than 10 minutes after participating in a controlled hand-to-hand drug purchase from an East Falmouth dealer, Yerrington used his $100 police payment to buy drugs for himself. Okay? So the only problem was that, the only problem was Yerrington returned to the scene of the crime and allegedly bought heroin from the same dealer who was under police surveillance. Ha ha! Oh. Anyway, Phil Hendry Show produced by Jason Rantz. Our technical director is Ralph Rodriguez. Don't forget our website is philhendryshow.com. You can go and watch daily streaming videos of our show live or check into our video 5-day archive. Also, live streaming audio and downloads the next day of the show. Until tonight or tomorrow morning, a pleasant good morning from El Pacifico.
Phil Hendry.